Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler. It's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba. On this weekend edition of the podcast, you can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at crumplerbaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Saturday, April 27th. We'll start it off, as always, with the bad news, transactions, injuries, news, and notes. Our first IL placement is first baseman Joey Gallo, who landed on the 10-day IL with a sprained left AC joint. The shoulder injury will force Gallo to miss at least the next week and a half. I'm hoping that injury was the result of his awful numbers at the plate. Across his first 23 games, Gallo batted 122 with a 75 WRC+. Alex Call was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. The late-blooming outfielder displayed power-speed potential in 2023, and it carried over to AAA with 6 homers and 3 steals in his first 19 games there this year. Call will be on the short side of a corner outfield platoon with either Jesse Winker or Eddie Rosario. Joey Meneses, meanwhile, will shift from DH to first base to cover for Gallo, while Trey Lipscomb and Nick Senzel split time at the hot corner and DH. In terms of transactions, outfielder Starling Marte was placed on the paternity list. Congratulations, he will have another child, and he should be back in the lineup following the Mets' weekend series against the Cardinals. In Marte's absence, DJ Stewart will play right field versus right-handed starters, with Tyrone Taylor likely getting starts against lefties. As expected, starting pitcher Framber Valdez was activated from the 15-day IL ahead of the Mexico City series. The Southpaw will start Game 2 of this offensively powered matchup versus the Rockies. And lastly, starting pitcher Taijuan Walker is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start in San Diego. That's a matchup I will be avoiding in my fantasy leagues. It's a still ill as he's returning from the injured list, and Walker is not a pitcher I'd trust against all but the worst of lineups. A corresponding move will be announced today, and Spencer Turnbull will likely shift to the bullpen with Ricardo Pinto being demoted to the minors. In terms of news, starting pitcher Kyle Bradish has completed his rehab assignment and will return this week. Cole Irvin is likely to be displaced from the rotation, and Bradish should be added everywhere as a pitcher with ace potential. Starting pitcher Nick Pivetta will begin a rehab assignment on Tuesday. The Red Sox rotation has been absolutely decimated by injuries, so they will be welcoming back Pivetta with open arms in just a couple of weeks. Relief pitcher Matt Brash has been indefinitely shut down from his rehab assignment. The righty was nearing a return before having a terrible bullpen session where everything felt bad. This seems to be a significant setback, especially with Brash recovering from elbow-related issues. We likely won't see him for a couple weeks at the earliest, and there's a chance Brash is due for an extended absence depending on the results of his doctor's visit. Outfielder Josh Lowe was expected to return from his season-long IL stint this weekend, but he's dealing with hamstring tightness and will get an MRI on Monday. Lowe's timeline has now been pushed out a couple of weeks. And lastly, first baseman Tristan Casas of the Red Sox was transferred to the 60-day IL. He has torn cartilage in his ribcage, and we won't see him return to the field until late June at the earliest. Garrett Cooper was acquired in a trade with the Cubs and should become the team's top option at first base, sharing playing time with Bobby Dalbec. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Saturday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Sedan Rafaela versus the Cubs as he helped the Red Sox to win, going a perfect 4-for-4 with 3 runs, a home run, 2 doubles, 7 runs batted in, and a steal for good measure. His home run traveled 411 feet with a 105.4 mph exit velocity. He's up to 2 home runs on the year and 4 stolen bases. And it's been a tough first full season for Rafaela, who even after this incredible perfect performance at the plate is still touting just a 576 OPS. To start with, Rafaela's BABIP has been unluckily low, and we saw it begin to turn around here, but even after Sunday's game, it still sits at just 232. Expect that number to jump up another 70 points, which will allow Rafaela's average to settle in around 250. Prior to Saturday, Rafaela had produced little in the power department. His 105.4 mph home run, though, set a new season-high max exit velocity, and it's a good sign as he looks to replicate his power speed production from the minors. Across AA and AAA in 2023, Rafaela hit 20 homers and swiped 36 bags while batting north of 300. We won't see that production in the majors this year, but the 23-year-old should be rostered in all leagues 15 teams or deeper. He's playing every day, and his fortune looks to be turning around. In shallower leagues, put Rafaela on your watch list so that you can see if this is the outing that ignites a hot streak. Andrew Benintendi helped the White Sox to just their fifth win versus the Rays, going 3-for-5 with 2 runs, a pair of home runs, and 6 runs batted in. His first home run traveled 405 feet with a 103.3 mile per hour exit velocity, and the second one 401 feet with a 104.3 mile per hour exit velocity. Benintendi came through in the clutch with his second long ball being a walk-off in the 10th inning to secure the White Sox fifth win. Not known for his power, this is the first multi-homer game for Benintendi since September of 2021. They were also his first 2 home runs of the year, so it was a big night for Benintendi. He's proven to lack fantasy viability, however, with little power and a batting average that doesn't do enough to offset his deficiencies in other areas. The worst part is his placement in the worst lineup in baseball. Benintendi should only be an option in AL-only leagues because he plays every single day, despite being in a terrible lineup. Richie Palacios on the other side of that game versus the White Sox. The Rays took the loss, though Palacios went 3-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, 2 runs batted in, 3 walks, and 2 steals. He's up to 3 home runs and 3 steals on the season now. His home run traveled 386 feet with a 101.7 mile per hour exit velocity. Opposite Benintendi, Palacios contributed in every possible way with an electric game. This was Palacios' second combo meal of the season, and it was the first time in his career that he stole multiple bases. It was also the first time he's walked 3 times in a game. The intrigue levels on Palacios increased this offseason when the Rays acquired him via trade with the Cardinals. He's been plenty interesting thus far, exhibiting power and speed while hitting at the top of the lineup against right-handers. Palacios was a pulled fly ball candidate heading to a team that's known to have success at getting hitters to change their approach. And it's worked, as Palacios has seen his ground ball rate decrease by over 22%. That's huge, which should allow him to tap into more power and get more consistent results at the plate. Palacios' role as a member of a platoon makes him difficult to roster in 12-team leagues, but he can be a reliable streamer in those leagues and seems to be a fun option in deeper leagues. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Saturday, make sure to check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Slade Ciccone against the Mariners in Seattle. He took a tough luck loss, tossing 6 innings, allowing just 3 hits, 1 run, and 1 walk while striking out 8 batters. Ciccone induced 11 whiffs with a 35% CSW across 84 pitches, and he had all 3 of his pitches working in this one. Ciccone recorded at least 3 whiffs with all of them, while they all sat above 32% CSW, and Ciccone has a spot in the rotation with Eduardo Rodriguez, Merrill Kelly, and Ryan Nelson on the IL, but he's making a case to not be the first man ousted when one of them returns. I'm not sure he's super viable for fantasy purposes. Ciccone has done a good job of staying in the zone, walking no one in his first 2 outings, but both were pretty easy matchups in pitcher-friendly ballparks in Seattle and San Francisco. If Ciccone were to stay in the rotation, he'd face the Padres next week, and despite his 99th percentile PLV heater and both his secondaries having success, I don't think I'd go for that there. Cole Irvin earned the win versus the A's, tossing 7 shutout innings, allowing just 4 hits while walking nobody. He struck out 5, inducing 7 whiffs with a 27% CSW across 89 pitches. This was a farewell tour for Irvin as he faced his former team and is likely to be knocked out of the rotation when Kyle Bradish returns this week. Irvin did what Irvin does best, keep hitters off balance with the kitchen sink approach. He did a good job of keeping changeups arm side as they led his arsenal with 3 whiffs, though just 1 of his pitches surpassed 30% CSW as his heater stole 10 called strikes against a passive A's lineup. Even if Irvin were to remain in the rotation, he wouldn't be someone to target in fantasy. He's the textbook example of a Toby, making him an eligible streamer against weak offenses because his team context gives him a good shot at a win. Irvin would take on the Yankees in his next outing, and that's a clear avoid. And lastly, we have Charlie Morton versus the Guardians as he took a no decision while the Braves lost in extras. He tossed 7 shutout innings, allowing just 4 hits and 1 walk while striking out 6. Morton induced 16 whiffs with a 32% CSW across 91 pitches, and Morton's fastball, curveball, changeup combo was on point on Saturday as all 3 of them induced at least 4 whiffs. we're really only rostering Morton for his decent strikeout numbers and his great win chances. As he enters his 40s, Morton becomes less reliable. We saw his walk rate skyrocket north of 11% last year, while his strikeout rate sat closer to 25%, making him a cherry bomb. Nothing has changed this year, as his walk rate is still inflated and his punchouts were down. However, Morton is doing exactly what he was drafted to do. At his age, it's too much to ask for him to return to his mid-30s form, but we can be happy with double-digit wins, a sub-4 ERA, and 175 strikeouts. Morton is set to take on the Dodgers next time, and while I wouldn't drop him, I'd probably bench him against that daunting lineup. But if you'd like a breakdown of literally every single start from Saturday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, David Bednar bounced back from Friday's loss by recording his fifth save. Unfortunately, he still continued to be hit around, surrendering two runs, one of which was earned, though Bednar did impress by recording all three of his outs via the punch-out. Ryan Helsley tied for the major league lead with his ninth save on Saturday. Evan Phillips worked around an unearned run to lock down his eighth save. Brent Suter attempted to record the final six outs of a win, but surrendered four runs in the ninth. That made it a save situation, so Alexis Diaz arrived to put out the fire by securing the final two outs and his sixth save. Jason Foley nearly blew a save, allowing two runs in the ninth, but persevered to notch his eighth save. And lastly, Andrés Muñoz secured his fourth save with a perfect ninth. His job is no longer in jeopardy, with both Matt Brash and Gregory Santos a ways away from returning. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Camilo Doval pitched the ninth in a tie ballgame for the second day in a row. Doval held things together until the bullpen blew up in the 10th. Jordan Romano started the ninth with his team down by three and put two men on base, requiring Nate Pearson's help to close out the inning. Jason Adam pitched the ninth in a tie game, hinting at him being the team's closer in Pete Fairbanks' absence. On the other side of that game, Michael Kopech also pitched the ninth in a tie game, as he is the White Sox's top relief option right now. Russell Iglesias also pitched the ninth in a tie game. He put up a zero to send the game to extras, and opposite Iglesias, Emmanuel Clase also put up a zero in the ninth to force extra innings. And lastly, Kevin Ginkle was utilized to keep the game close in the eighth, as he recorded the final two outs of that inning to give the D-backs a chance at a comeback in the ninth. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. And now we'll look forward to Sunday, April 28th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Pablo Lopez versus Reed Detmers. I'd like to see both of these pitchers bounce back and show their true potentials in this one. In terms of probable starters, we've got four guys in the auto starts tier, including Pablo Lopez. We've also got Tarek Skubal versus the Royals, Jared Jones in San Francisco, and Logan Gilbert versus the Diamondbacks. Our probably starts tier has eight guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Albert Suarez versus the A's. He looked great in the spring, was awesome in his first two scoreless starts, and now gets a great matchup against the A's, where his declining fastball velocity shouldn't be much of a factor. I'd also keep an eye out for both Ryan Weathers versus the Nationals and Eric Fetty versus the Rays. Weathers just survived against the Braves following a 10 strikeout outing versus the Giants. He'll need his whole repertoire to be working if he wants to truly dominate, but Weathers should have no trouble against a Nationals lineup that's without its best hitter and struggles versus southpaws. Meanwhile, Fetty just struck out 11 batters in Minnesota following a 5-inning shutout of the Royals. The Rays have not proven to be a lineup worth worrying about, and while I wouldn't expect the strikeouts to return or for Fetty to be in line for a win, he could cruise through six frames, benefiting your ratios. In terms of hitter suggestions, we're going for Astros and Rockies hitters in Mexico again. The stadium in Mexico is an offensive haven, so it's a great place to target hitters. Both teams will be trotting out southpaws, so target some right-handed hitting Astros and Rockies hitters. I'd also target Marlins hitters versus Patrick Corbin. Corbin hasn't been good for a long time, so it's always easy to target his starts as ones you should stream hitters against. Go look for right-handed hitting Marlins batters on your wire. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Michael Kopech has pitched on back-to-back days, so expect Steven Wilson or John Brebbia to be in line for a save on Sunday. David Bednar has pitched on back-to-back days as well, so it looks like Aroldis Chapman should be the first man up for a save, though he does have a 6 ERA on the season, so maybe someone like Hunter Stratton or Colin Holderman gets a shot. Ryan Helsley has pitched on consecutive days, but so have both Jojo Romero and Andrew Kittredge, so expect Giovanni Gallegos to be out for a save, unless they have the confidence to turn to Helsley for the third day in a row. And lastly, Camilo Doval has pitched on back-to-back days. Taylor Rogers blew the game in the 10th inning, and Tyler Rogers has pitched on back-to-back days. So maybe Rogers is out there for the 9th, or maybe Doval goes for a third day in a row, or maybe the manager will spin around in circles and point his finger on whichever reliever gets to save that one. But it's basically anybody's chance right now. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with PitcherList staff like myself and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Bubba will be back with you on Monday and throughout the week, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.